This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned, because I got a whole bunch of that stuff on the show where you can find help and hope. And unfortunately, my best friend, co-host, and sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley is not here today. As my mother would say, she's out gallivanting on holiday. So Ed is laughing.
You know, if there was one word to describe Lynn, it would be gallivanting.
I think so. So she's in Canada, and she comes back, and I leave tomorrow morning for New York City, but we'll both be back next Friday. So I'll be so glad. So I hope you're having a great trip, Lynn. The first thing I want to do is give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Daphne in Sarasota, Rafaela in Tampa, and Quentin in St. Pete. And like I always say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for new listeners, whether you listen live on the show, or whether you watch the podcast, or YouTube, or Facebook, or wherever they'll take me. We just want to help you out in any way we can. So I have with me today Melissa Moore from Empath Health. And we're going to chat in a little bit. And we also have Suzanne White, Caregiver Warrior, who will be on the second half of the show. So, Empath. Empath is hospice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And people go, ooh, hospice, I'm scared.
Yeah. We get that a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. But, you know, as I said to you before the show, I think all hospice is wonderful. All hospices all over the world are wonderful. Because it's so needed, and when people first hear that hospice word, they think it means, like, I'm going to die tomorrow.
Right.
I know people that have ever actually graduated from hospice.
It happens, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a very cool thing, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for caregivers to know also that hospice is not just for your loved one, it's for you.
Absolutely.
So when my husband was on hospice, and the nurse used to come, and she would take his blood pressure and all his vital stuff, and she's like, I need to take yours, too, Linda. Make sure you're good. But it made me feel good because somebody was caring about me.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, that's a big deal. So you work with the Volunteer Services Division.
Yeah.
So to first tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to be doing this.
Okay. Well, my background, I worked in the field initially. My background is in public health. So I have my master's in public health. And have always been very connected to volunteerism. I swear I probably came out of my mom's womb, like, ready to volunteer. It's just part of who I am.
I have to tell you, I found a diary from when I was in fifth grade.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I want to grow up to be a volunteer.
Hey.
I think I thought it was a paid position because at one point in my life, I almost volunteered myself into bankruptcy, but... It's a good, you know, and I tell my grandchildren, because I'm like in Kiwanis and other things, I tell them service work is not an option, it's a responsibility.
Absolutely.
Because this is your community.
Yes.
These are your neighbors.
That is exactly the way I was raised. My grandmother was very active. She was military, veteran herself, and she instilled in me at a very early age that you give back, that you serve your community, that you find ways to give your talents. And, you know, I started out Girl Scouts, wee little one, and now, you know, I'm a co-leader of my daughter's Girl Scout troop now, so it all kind of comes full circle. But I've always been very active in my community. I'm involved in some local organizations here as a volunteer as well. And so, you know, through a variety of paths, you know, I found my way into the world of volunteer management. Yeah. And so I've been doing hospice volunteer management for about 12 and a half years now.
Wow.
Yeah. And for me, it's just the most rewarding work in the world. I mean, there's just nothing else, because we get to connect people who want to help with people who need the help.
Right.
And a lot of times people don't know what they need help with. They don't know how to ask for help.
No.
You know, you're so used to being on a lot of times autopilot. You just do. And somewhere, a lot of times you lose your way along the way because you're just so used to a lot of times operating at that, you know, well, the empty tank.
I think hospice brings out the spirituality in people. Mm-hmm. Because there's the caregiver. Are they eating? Are they taking their medicine? Are they pooping? Are they doing this? Are they doing that? Am I just managing? How can I, you know, what else do I need to take care of?
And, right.
And usually neglecting themselves. But once they get together with hospice, it's a whole different story.
Right, right.
And the caregiver, as hard as it is for them to accept this or accept this next step, right after they do, the next thing you hear is,
right, yeah.
And it's, that's huge.
Yeah.
I don't want people to miss out on that.
Absolutely.
I don't want people to miss out on hospice services and how they can have those benefits and those very special, loving times.
Right.
At the end of your loved one's life.
Right. It's that notion of full life, you know, the full life care, the interdisciplinary, what we call interdisciplinary, that it's looking at the individual or the family unit even more so, and not just looking at the physical. You know, yes, there's those physical ailments that are impacting them, but like you said, it's the emotional, it's the spiritual, it's the relationships, it's yeah. all of those things.
And you know what? None of us are getting out of this alive.
Well, yeah, no.
You know, really.
Right,
so
right.
Let's talk about it a little bit. You know, let's have these conversations.
Right.
It's so important because, you know, I felt when my mom passed away, she was in Woodside Hospice mm-hmm. at the time. Buddy Doyle, he was my team guy.
Oh,
with,
yeah.
You know, Buddy?
Oh, I did, yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
heart.
Love.
My heart, the Ivory team. And I felt, though, not so much that my mother was dying, that I was helping to birth her into a new life.
Yes.
A better life.
Yeah.
Because she got the good end of the deal.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
Which we don't think of the person who dies as getting the good end of the deal, but I do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned the idea of birthing because one of the programs that I'm helping to lead our organization is developing what is known on a national level as an end-of-life doula program. And it's that exact idea of, yeah. like, how do we help that person in their journey and thinking about that kind of full life, that full circle.
And those conversations, you know, I have a friend of mine, Brian LeBlanc, and he has Alzheimer's, and he talks out about it all the time. And he knows that at some point he'll be in a community at some point. Mm-hmm. And so what he's done is he's made a video for the people that are going to be caring for him that says, I don't like to eat first thing in the morning. Please don't try to give me food first thing in the morning. I just want coffee. I like to eat like around 10, you know, and I really like to go outside. So if I go outside once a day, I would really be happy. And if I could have a dog, I would really be happy. And I love the Beatles, but don't be playing Revolution on my headphones for 2 hours. Well, he's setting himself up and the people who will be caring for him for success.
Wow.
So
that's amazing.
You know, I would love to see hospice get involved in doing some of that stuff down the road. We'll talk about that.
Well, actually, that is part of it. You know, the end-of-life doula is part of their role. We have a guide called My Vigil Wishes, and its focus is at that end of life, but it doesn't necessarily limit it to that.
Right.
It's focusing on that because that's the people that we work with most commonly. But it is. It's about, like, who do you want to be surrounded by? What do you want your space to look like? What are the smells, the sights, the feels? What kind of bedding do you want
right.
on your bedding so that you can be most comfortable? So, yeah, it's helping to facilitate those things that we may not think to, you know.
And we may, in the end, not be verbal.
Right, right.
So I'm telling you, if it's me, I don't want to be sitting in a chair and nobody's understanding what I, you know.
Right.
This is not good.
See, I should have brought my booklet for you. We could have, you know, documented all your wishes. I'll have to get you a copy of it.
So
yeah.
tell people about the wishes.
Yeah. So the program, you know, again called End of Life Doula Program, but it's called My Vigil Wishes, and so it really is a booklet that's really designed to help facilitate conversation
mm-hmm.
because that's what it's about.
Right.
You know, a lot of times we don't know what we don't know, right?
No.
And your friend has had this wonderful thought of putting his wishes out there when he's able to, But the reality is not a lot of us have that conscious thought to do that while we're able to.
Right.
So having someone who can help ask the right questions of us so that we can have a safe space to think about, you know, what is it that I want or what is it that I don't want, you know, and making sure that so when we do get that point of our journey, whenever that is, that we can help to carry out those wishes.
Yeah, and I think, well, I always think with everything, it's better to be prepared. It's better to have conversations. You know, I do a monthly journaling workshop for caregivers, and it was yesterday, and it was just absolutely fabulous. It's via Zoom. And one of the prompts was, I wish you would have told me sooner, blah, 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 blah. And I had invited Mary Jane Cronin. She's a journaler and a grief counselor to facilitate the meeting with me. So I decided to answer that question. And when my mother went through her transitions, I wish she would have told me sooner that she was afraid. I wish she would have told me sooner about like some things with religion that was bothering her because my parents were divorced and she was a strict Roman Catholic. Mm. It did come out in the end, and it really was good. But I think if we would have had that conversation before, she would have been more comfortable sooner.
Right. Absolutely.
So the conversations are really important. I have one family that every year on New Year's Day, they all dress up in black and they all get together and say, okay, this year we got to figure out this. Like, this person can't take care of themselves anymore, or maybe this is what they thought it was going to look like, and maybe it's not, and maybe you could step up to the bat last year, but now you just had twins. So you can't step up to the bat.
Wow.
And is that fabulous?
Yeah. Wow.
Because sometimes we think that there are people there for us, and as potential as they want to be there for us, maybe they cannot. And, you know, with COVID, that really messed up everything.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the reality. It definitely striking a chord as someone who's played the role as caregiver and decision maker. You know, it's we hit our capacity.
You know?
We exceed our capacity. I think a lot of us have like far surpassed our capacity. And, you know, and we all go through our own chapters of life where we're used to carrying that big load on our back and it's not always sustainable. Most of the time it's not sustainable.
And I can't tell you how many times caregivers have died before the person they're taking care of. Mm. And then the worst scenario comes true because now your person is put into some community somewhere that no one's had a conversation about and they're all by themselves.
Right.
So have the conversation.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the volunteers.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you must need a lot of volunteers
because
it's such a huge organization.
Yeah, it's so big. It's so, so big. And for me, like, I'm always... sometimes to a fault, I'm always trying to find where that gap is and what else can we introduce into our volunteer programming to, you know, to fill those needs.
Right.
And so...
And what's the newest, latest, and greatest idea?
There's never enough volunteers to fill the needs because there's so many. We're always trying to be one step forward and thinking like this end-of-life doula program. It came out of identifying that there was a gap or an opportunity. And so, you know, through research and through collaboration, you know, we found that, wow, this would make a huge difference to start these conversations earlier with people so that when they do get to that end of life, we can help to carry out their wishes.
Yeah, and everybody's more comfortable with it.
Right. You know, another program that we're in the process of developing is a guided meditation program. And how do we, you know, recognize that for some people, you never know what the right mix of resources or support that's going to make a difference.
Right.
You know, and so having... you know, different types of volunteers, having things like pet visits and, you know, aromatherapy, music, Reiki.
Yeah.
Now introducing meditation. It's like, how do we add all of these tools? I love that, you know, I know we use it frequently in hospice is like this tool belt, you know, and it's so true. How do we add on all these tools? Because you never know what, you know, special little wrench you're going to need.
Exactly.
And that's our volunteers, you know, and I love, one of my favorite things is when people come to us with like this, what might seem like a pretty outrageous requests. Like, we need a volunteer who can juggle, speak Spanish,
and do the Irish jig.
Available at 2 a.m. and is also a chef. And I love being able to go, oh my gosh, I think I have somebody. I mean, that's what fuels me as a volunteer manager and as a leader of my team.
But I think sometimes when people think of being a hospice volunteer, they're like, I don't want to volunteer to be with people that are dying.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what it's about.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would say
for some people it is.
Right. I mean, we need those people who can be at the bedside of those who are, at different stages of dying. That is a core part of our program. But there are many volunteers and staff who do a lot of work behind the scenes. And that, all helps to drive the work that we do on the front line.
Yeah.
A lot of our volunteers are very much steps away from being with our patients, and that's okay, and there may be phases of people's lives where, maybe they have a death in their own family and they need to take a step back from doing that patient care part of their volunteer work, because now it's just too close to home for them, and they need time to grief themselves. And then opposite, sometimes people are like, oh, I want nothing to do with
anything. That's not my bag,
And, and they volunteer in the office or they help in our resale shops. And then, time passes and there's this shift and they're like, ooh, I think I want to be involved with that, you know?
I'm ready now.
I have this really cute dog that I think my dog and I would make visits together. And so there's a shift that can happen, both ways.
Yeah. And I just love all the legacy programs. I mean, it means so much. After my husband passed away, there was a woman that made teddy bears out of my husband's shirts.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so my favorite flannel shirt, my daughter's favorite flannel shirt, and then my granddaughter, it was the shirt that he wore to her wedding 4 months before he passed away.
Oh.
Yikes.
Yes.
But I can't tell you how much that meant to us.
Yes.
How much they have, we did the hand molds. Where you have the hands holding together in the molds,
Great.
They have the fingerprint jewelry. But what are some of the things you guys do? And how can volunteers get involved with that? Because I think that might be a little more interesting to some people, especially some artsy people.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad you asked that question, because there's a lot of special. Our sewing volunteers create the most magical things. The memory bears are great. We've had memory pillows as well. One of my favorite projects that one of our sewing volunteers did is she made a quilt. But what she made it out of is the patient used to, competed in equestrian horse riding, and had won all of these ribbons from all of the different competitions she had been in her lifetime. And she collected these. And a lot of them, I'm not really knowledgeable about horse racing, but I think the best ribbons, I want to say, are the blue ribbons, but I could be wrong. But anyway, she had all of these first place ribbons. But what I loved what the volunteer did is she made the quilt out of the ribbons. But what she did is she actually included the ribbons where she didn't place. She interwove them, and it really symbolically showed that your mom's
life—it
wasn't always winning, right?
Right.
We didn't always come in first place.
Right.
There were times where
we were in it.
We were in it, and we kept at it. And when
that's fabulous,
it was just—you could tell that the volunteer put a lot of love into it.
Yeah.
And the daughter who received it, you could tell that this volunteer had put so much love and thought into it.
Yeah.
It's just one unique example of things that our volunteers have created.
Well, I'll tell you, after my dad passed away, my stepmother had all his cufflinks made into jewelry for us. So I have three pairs of earrings wore cufflinks of my dad's.
That's really great.
It's so, because what? They would have sat in the drawer. And then, certain days I'm like, I got you with me, Dad, or be with me.
Yeah.
So if people want to volunteer, what are the requirements and how can they do that?
Yeah, Yeah. So it really depends on what route volunteers want to go. Like we were just talking about, not everyone's going to be actively with our patients. So there is a 4-hour class that all of our volunteers take, whether you're going to work administratively behind the scenes in our resale shops, helping with sewing projects. Mm-hmm. That is the 4-hour introductory course. And then for those folks who would like to support our patients or work with our survivors, those who are receiving bereavement, there's an additional 12 hours of training that they go through to get more in depth about what it means to journey with someone who is either receiving our care or a survivor who is now in that bereavement process. So lots of good training. You don't have to have any special medical background. We have so many different roles for volunteers. You're not, a lot of people are like, well, I'm not a nurse or I'm not medical. Okay. I'm like, me neither.
Me either. I know.
We provide lots of really good training and then lots of ongoing training. Like I said, we mentioned, we teach volunteers how to use different things like Reiki, music.
Yeah.
Guided
massage,
meditation, all the things, gentle hand rub, all of those beautiful things that they can kind of add to their tool belt. And I know for a lot of our volunteers, they love the continuing education.
Yeah. I'll tell you, after my mother passed away, I was in a support group through Suncoast, and it was just for women who had lost their mothers, which was fabulous.
Yeah.
And there was probably like 15 of us in the group. And like 9 of us, our mothers were born in Brooklyn. Because so many people move from New York to Florida.
Yeah.
It was fabulous. All right, so tell our listeners where they can find you.
All right, so you can visit our website, empathhealth.org. And then if you click on volunteer,
It
takes you to lots of different information about the different programs we have, information about the volunteer training that I mentioned. You can also call 727-523-3440. That's our volunteer intake line, and we're happy to talk with you and explain the different ways to get involved. I do want to also give a plug that we have lots of great teen volunteer opportunities.
Oh, that's good.
So
that looks great on your resume.
Yes, high school students. So even if the listeners themselves may not have time to give right now,
right.
I think we may have a neighbor, a grandchild, someone that we
care
about.
So how old do they have to be?
14.
14, okay.
Yep, here in Pinellas County, lots of really amazing opportunities for students. So.
Yeah, and those kids are not afraid of this.
No, they do great, great work. They do so many special things for our patients, help celebrate, birthdays and make videos of their life stories.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And really cool stuff.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, my goodness, my pleasure. This was fun.
Right now, we want to hear from our wonderful partners. So you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregiver Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care serving Pinellas and Pasco counties can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888 478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back, my friends. And now we have on the line Suzanne White, think about this, the caregiver warrior. Hey, Suzanne.
Hello there.
How are you today?
I am just terrific. Is this my favorite caregiver connector?
Yes. So happy to talk with you. So you got a lot going on, and you're going to tell all our listeners about your website and your new book and everything, but my first question to you is, well, just give me a little background about yourself.
Sure. And don't let me forget, before we stop the interview, I want to talk about a show of yours I listened to recently that I got a tremendous insight
from. Okay,
so
great.
So I'll dive into that a little. But I was a caregiver for my mom and dad. I was the child of parents who were sort of hiding that my mom was in early stages of dementia and that my dad was having heart issues. So they were sort of very much in love after, you know, so many years.
Yeah.
And they were sort of working together to kind of hide it from us.
Oh, yeah, they do the dance.
Oh, they do the dance. Dad was a World War II bombardier fighter pilot who got shot down over Germany. Anyway, he was a very stoic, very special guy. But, you know, 6 foot tall, nothing ever happened to him. We were all flying down to Florida for holidays, and they had to take him off the plane in a wheelchair. Because he was so sick. And what did he have? Caregiver burnout.
Yep.
So I stepped up. I stepped up to the plate and I said, "Hey, Pop, you want me to help you?" And he said, "Yes, so fast."
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh." I was like, "Whoops, okay, I guess this is my new duty."
Now, did you know what you were getting into?
Of course not. I mean, I had no idea. I mean, but, you know, I'm a control freak, type A personality. I can handle it.
Oh, yeah.
So, and fix them and fix everything and make them okay, and I was going to handle it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then what happened?
So, well, Mom and I didn't get along ever. We butted heads. And I now realize that it's because we were so much alike, not because we were so different. And it was tough. She was like 5 foot four, a powerhouse. And man, she was not going to take my help. And I knew in my heart she needed my help. And
yeah,
my dad was supporting me. So, I started the journey. And I'll tell you something. It was really rough. I was pretty miserable. I was very upset. I always say if you're hysterical, it's historical.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I had a lot of baggage with my mom and even my dad, you know, and trying to care for someone who I do love. I did love them so much. It was tough.
It was tough.
Really tough, and she made it even tougher. Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you turn it around?
Well, I mean, it wasn't pretty, and I didn't turn it all around, but I do remember I was in New York at the time and they were in South Jersey, so I was commuting in the beginning, especially every weekend. You know, like I get off of work, full-time job, off of work, and drive down Friday night and take care of them and drive back late Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was miserable. I was so upset and so miserable in the drive down.
And frustrated and angry and why do I have to do this? And this isn't how life is supposed to be.
Right. And scared.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been so frightened in my life. And I mean, I've seen some crap in my life. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can tell I kind of have a strong, big personality. I was so scared that I was going to do it all wrong. Tremendous. So, you know, I felt so bad and so sick that I kind of sort of smacked myself like Cher and Moonstruck, like snap out of it.
Yeah.
Said, you got to do something.
Yeah.
You got to change this, and it's your choice.
Right, and only you can do it.
There's going to be a lot of pain. Right. There's going to be a lot of pain here, but, you know, suffering is an option, and you're suffering right now.
Right.
You know, so I had to start to come up with a lot of stuff to do and try to get more comfortable.
Yeah.
And you know, and at the time, you know, there wasn't a lot of information. You know what I mean?
No.
So I was, yeah. This is why what you do is so amazing because, you know, we're lost out here. You know, we don't know what to do. I mean, caregiving is different for everyone, but it's all the same journey.
Well, you know, in the beginning, when I first started doing this years ago, I let people know they were caregivers before I could even help them because I'm not a caregiver. I'm the faithful spouse. I'm the good daughter.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. What is that about? But yeah.
Yeah. But we're talking about it more today. Thank goodness.
And that's what's great because, I mean, who made the job description?
Right.
How much suffering do you have to do to be a caregiver? Is there a job description? Do you have to fill it out?
Exactly. So tell me about go ahead.
Oh, no, it's just, you know, so I had to start coming up with all kinds of strategies and tactics.
Yes, and then when you did, you decided to share those, right?
Yeah, because I met with other caregivers, that was one of the things I did. I connected, because, you know, everybody knows caregivers. I mean, we know somebody in our lives.
Because there's a caregiver on every corner.
Yeah, I'm taking, thank you. So I surrounded myself with other caregivers, and what I kept hearing was, oh, my God, nobody tells you this stuff.
Right. Or, oh, my God, what do I do about this?
Yeah. Or, oh, my gosh, what happened? Yeah. So I said, you know what? I'm going to start writing about this, and I'm going to be the one to tell you about this stuff, because if I survive this and something works, or if I make a really big mistake, I'm going to share that, too,
yep.
Because, you know, angels, we are caregivers are angels. We need as much help as possible.
Well, you're a lot like me. What you see is what you get, and that's what people relate to.
Yeah, you know what? And I've never thought of it that way, but yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, if we're authentic, you know, people don't want to be talked down to, for Pete's sake, or up to. You know, they just want to hear, like, hell, this is how I screwed up, and here's how I fixed it.
Yeah.
And I was scared. I was scared. I was so scared.
Well, you know, I always say we're all the same schmoes. We want our health. We want a roof over our head. We want food on the table. You know, we may have different interests and different hobbies, but basically we're exactly the same. And when you realize that, you get to meet a whole bunch more cool people and just understand people so much better.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my version of that is we're just all bozos on the bus, you know. I can't tell you how many caregivers held my hand.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to, and the thing I listened to, you were doing a show and you were talking about tips, especially for long distance caregivers,
mm-hmm.
right? And you were saying that, you know, things that you could kind of do, like, because your parents, you know, when you arrive, like, try to stay like a week so you really see what's going on.
Yeah.
Talk to the neighbors, you
yeah.
know what I mean? And this is like such great information you were giving. And I thought, yeah, because they're hiding it and they're holding
yep.
it in. And, you know, you got to, okay. And then I thought them, and they just hear the insight. Guess who else does that?
Me.
Caregivers. That's the irony. The one thing they get so mad about, they care for, they're doing the same thing.
Right.
I'm fine. I'm okay. No, you don't have to help me. I got it.
Yeah.
You know, no, I'm not tired. No, I'm okay. I'm not hungry right now.
You know, I've told this story before. After my mom passed away, I met this woman in the supermarket. And she said, "How you doing, Linda?" And I said, "I'm okay." And she said, "You know, I'm sick of hearing that from you." She said, "I have to tell you, when you took care of your mother, you stole my joy." I said, "What?" She said, "I could see you swimming in quicksand, and every time I asked to help you, you said, 'No, I'm okay.' So you didn't let me help you, and you didn't give me the privilege of meeting your mother." Oh.
Oh. Ouch. Ouch.
But we need to think about that.
This is why the work you're doing is so amazing, and because caregivers need to hear that.
Yeah.
We get lost in this place where we have to be perfect, we have to control it, and if we reach out, I mean, like, we have to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I know that's against our DNA, because, you know, if somebody sees that you're hurting or that you're not as fast as you used to be, they're going to eat you, you know?
Not necessarily, though. You know, being vulnerable and asking for help is actually being strong. Because you have to...
be completely. I think it's the...
Yeah, you have to find that strength to be able to accept that help and ask for help and know that, you know what, I can't do it all by myself. No, and you know what? Nobody asked me to do it all by myself. I chose that.
Exactly.
You know?
It's our rules. We make these rules up. It's so crazy.
Yeah, you know, I had a caregiver one time, and she contacted me, and she said, "I've been listening to your show for quite a while, Linda, but I'm a slow learner." And she said, "My husband's dementia is so bad that we don't go anywhere anymore." She said, "But I want to go to church. I don't want to give up my church. I have to give up everything else." She said, "And my neighbor's Jewish, and he's always been asking me, 'Anything I can do to help you?'" She said, "So I finally got the nerve to ask him, 'Do you think maybe you could hang out with my husband when I go to church on Sundays?'" He said, "I would love to do that." So she said, "I go to church on Sunday, and I rush back right after the service, and they go, 'We don't need you here. We're playing dominoes. We'll see you later.'" So she gets 3 hours every Sunday now. And her dad gets to talk to the neighbor who he loves, and the neighbor gets to talk to the dad who he loves.
And it's painful that it's that simple.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. But it's important, and it's important for us to give ourselves a break and to let our loved ones see somebody other than us, because... As long as we think, "Oh, I'm doing the bomb job. I'm the best caregiver in the world. Nobody could do it like me." I'm telling you, your loved one is sitting there and under their breath is like, "Could you please go away for a little while?" It's true.
It is true. I used to call myself a helicopter caregiver.
Well, one girl said to me, "I didn't think I needed to go away, and then I found out I was grinding my teeth." She goes, "And I went away, and when I came back, my dad said, 'Oh, you're so much nicer.'" And she goes, "I thought I was being so nice, but I was smiling while I was grinding my teeth." So,
see, and there's that's a really good point. There's two things on that. One, you know, what we have to understand is that we're better caregivers when we care for ourselves, okay?
Yeah.
If taking care of ourselves brings out a better us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And especially with dementia, like when I was able to be soft and gentle with my mom, she was a completely different person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how could I do that when I was stressing out and shaking from anxiety?
Well, I say to caregivers, if you don't take care of yourself, you're doing an injustice to your loved one. How about that? How about that?
There should be a plaque put up with that saying on it.
Yeah, it's true. And I also have a sign on my bathroom mirror that says, "You're looking at the person responsible for your happiness today."
No.
It's a little tough.
Yeah, it's nobody but us.
Yeah. And once you start practicing that, it gets a whole lot easier.
It does get a whole lot easier. And I have to tell you that it's still tough for me sometimes, no matter what I've been through and what I say and what I write.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough for me. Yeah, you know.
I'm going to New York tomorrow to help take care of my brother with Parkinson's. I'm having some anxiety today.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's that, you know, and we take care of people we dearly love.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, because, yeah, and look at the playing field. Yeah, I mean, it's a huge responsibility.
Yep.
And anybody who's a caregiver is hardwired to be a caregiver with, I believe, kindness and compassion in most cases.
Yes.
And I mean, we worry. We worry about them being hurt or leaving us. And
mm-hmm.
There's pre-grief. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of stuff, you know. But I think for me, I would beat myself up about being anxious. In other words, I couldn't just be.
Yeah.
Just enough I could be anxious.
Yeah. Yeah. I learned the hard way, but. You know, I learned it finally, that I had to take care of myself, that I had to breathe, and when I finally really got it, oh my God, everything was so much better. So much better.
Oh, absolutely.
So what advice do you have for our caregivers?
A whole bunch of stuff in that. A, you know, don't try to be perfect. Don't try to control.
Yeah. No expectations.
Give yourself no expectations. All you have to do is show up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we put this weight on ourselves and then we beat ourselves up about the weight we put on ourselves. It's just this spiral.
Yeah.
And, you know, and for me, there was an extraordinary gift. And I tell caregivers this all the time, especially people who come to me and go, I don't know, my dad, I don't know, we don't get along. And I just say, please show up for him. Because
yeah.
You will heal your relationship. I will make this promise, and if you can come back to me, you know, but you will heal your relationship with him.
Well, I don't know if I told you this story recently. A woman called me a couple of months ago, hysterically crying. And she said to me, my mom was the perfect mother until I was 14 years old. And then she got into a car accident and she got addicted to opiates. She said, and she was a drug addict and really bad, you know, really bad. She said, so as soon as I was old enough, I left the house and I didn't have any contact with my mother for 25 years. She said, now I have to take care of her. She has dementia. She said, now I'm mad and she's mad and we're mad and... Oh my goodness, I tried making all these suggestions and nothing was happening. They were just butting heads. And then one night I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try this. So I said to her, can you tell me one time that was very fabulous with your mother? Like one of your most fabulous memories with your mother? And she said, you know, when I used to come home from school, she used to brush my hair. And the woman still has long hair. So I said, do you think you could ask your mom to brush your hair? And she goes, I don't know, Linda, that's kind of stretching it. She might pull my hair out. I said, just think about it. Just think about it. Well, you know what? Every afternoon now at 4 o'clock, her mother brushes her hair. And she gets to be that little girl and her mom gets to be her mom. And they forgot about all that crap that happened the last 25 years.
That is absolutely brilliant.
Huge. Simple though, like we said,
and
right?
It's simple, and seeing you let that information come to you, and so it's those kind of things we do that are the blessing and the gift, because it can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just amazing. My big turning point for me was a little different in that, you know, my mom was the boss. I mean, she just ruled all of us, and I had a big calendar on the refrigerator, you know, because you put the dates
yeah.
and times and everything, and it helped. Yeah. It was great for my dad, you know, the big calendar, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of came around the corner real quick, and she was standing in front of the refrigerator, pointing to the calendar with her finger and with her red nail polish, which I always made sure she had her, and she was pointing to it, and the look on her face, when I tell you, she couldn't connect. She was so upset that she couldn't
yeah.
connect what was on that calendar.
Yeah.
And bam, it hit me. As, you know, like, I was like, you know, if this woman was a stranger, you would be the most compassionate person in the universe to her. This is your mom.
Yeah.
And she is scared, you know what, less.
Yes.
And and lost in a world that in something that's just killing her.
Right.
Please show up and just be soft and gentle and loving.
Yeah.
And let all that garbage go.
Right. And it changed everything, right?
It changed everything. It helped me tap into my compassion and my empathy.
Yeah.
And it made a huge difference.
And who do you want to be more kind to? Your mom. It's your mom.
No.
You know?
No. I know. And she loved me. You know, the reason I can write and be creative is the one thing she really gave me. I never have a blank page in front of me. I'm sorry to people who have writing blocks. Never, because she encouraged. I used to sing and play guitar. She encouraged me. She went to every gig I ever did.
There you go.
Oh, play the guitar and sing. You know, and it's so I am so free creatively because of that tremendous gift.
Because of your mom.
You know, and I forgot about that with all the crap that happened when I was a teenager. You know what I mean? It's like what?
All right, right now we have to hear from our wonderful partners. Don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And the most fabulous thing, pretty soon you'll be able to order the foot walker right on my website, and it is now covered by most insurance. So please, not only does the walker help you love him, but it helps you with your back and all that pulling and everything. So Suzanne.
Yes.
Where can our listeners find you and your book?
They can, I'm very excited about my book. My book, Self-Care for Caregivers, is coming out September 6th.
Yay.
You can pre-order it now, which, yeah, I know, yay. And you can pre-order it now in Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all those good places. And if you do that, let me know what you think. We may review.
Okay.
They can find, the book will be out then. And my website and blog, caregiverwarrior.com. Please stop by and come read some blogs and see how I dealt with my caregiving journey and let me know about yours.
Thank you, my friend, and I'll put all that information in the description of the show, and thank you so much for being with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and thank you for everything you do. You're the absolute best.
Thank you. All right, we have a couple of events coming up here. My friend Teresa Wilbanks, I just love Teresa Wilbanks, will be in Sarasota on July 18th from 10 to 11 at the Friendship Center for Aging Studies. She's the author of Navigating the Caregiver River, and I wish I had her when I was caring for my mom. So you can RSVP to Lynn at 941-556-3263. Also, Sage's Theater plays with purpose. Their latest show is Phony Baloney. It's in the Tampa Bay area, Saturday, August 6th at Higgins Hall in Tampa, Saturday, August 13th at the Murray Theater at Ruth Eckert Hall, and Saturday, August 21st at the Central Park Performing Arts Center in Largo. So you can find more information for all of those and register at www.sagestheater.org. So take advantage of all that stuff. I also want to let you guys know that I'm writing a new book, The Stories of the Caregivers. So, you know, I have a lot of stories, but I know you have stories. I know you have stories that are funny. I know you have stories that are frustrating. I know you have stories that are so joyful, it just knocks me off my seat. So if you have any of those stories and you would like to be involved in my new book, please contact me through my website, lindaburhans.com. So like I said, I'm off to New York tomorrow morning to see my brother and my sisters and my stepmom for a couple of days and give my sister-in-law a little respite care, because that's what we need to do. So thanks for all your time today. I know how valuable it is. Lynn and I will be here next week. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing, nothing's going. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I'll come running, oh yeah, baby, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall,